Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. Ask whatever number 10, and it's a biggie. I love getting your questions, by the way. I've seen some semi-shocking ones, but I haven't had a stupid one yet. So don't worry about that. Just fire them off. If you follow me on Instagram, you already know that I don't care about repeat questions either. I figure less than a quarter of the people who have a question actually speak up. So that means that for every person asking a question, there are at least like three more people thinking the same thing and wondering it too. And I can see the same question a few dozen times a day. So that's a lot of people, and they're all counting on you to go ahead and ask. You can email me through the Disrupting Obesity website. You can comment on YouTube or Instagram, send me a DM. It really doesn't matter. I just keep a spreadsheet with all your questions on it, including the repeaters, and I just work my way through it. But I also always answer in real time too, as quickly as I can. So ask away, and I'm somehow still managing to actually answer like every single one myself. So just ask whatever you want. First up is a question though that made me so excited when it came in, like super excited. And it's kind of silly because the question is just, what do you suggest for coffee creamer and butter? And I especially loved it when this one came in with those two very specific examples because I have feelings. Specific feelings about those two things. And I'm not even a coffee drinker. I hate the damn stuff. My grandma cured me of it when I was four by letting me drink the last mouthful of her cup when I asked, can I try it? Sure. It was stone cold and full of grounds. So I can't even do mocha flavored ice cream. I'm completely cured of anything mocha coffee related. But I'm telling you, don't sacrifice your daily cup of joy for a handful of calories. Now, to be clear, if your cup of joy includes like 3/4 of a cup of heavy cream and a half a dozen tablespoons of sugar or a flavored syrup, that's not a handful of calories. That's a boatload. And you might want to look at some alternatives. And there are some really, really good sugar-free syrups out there. And if you don't know how many calories are in your coffee or whatever your equivalent is, hello, smoothie and protein power people, but also the tea and juice people, if you don't know how many calories are in your daily drink of choice, it's a problem, but it's a really easy one to fix. I'm not saying that there isn't some serious pain train potential here. Even at a casual glance, a Starbucks menu has reduced way stronger people than me to tears, but you've got to look, you've got to know. And especially with something like Starbucks, right? You can hack the shit out of that. There are entire social media accounts dedicated to nothing but low calorie custom drinks from there. And it's really easy to do. And those barista people they're really good about it. I'm not going to lie. I've gone through the drive-through several times in the last year with my phone open to a screenshot of a recipe, this many pumps of that, no sugar syrup. Like, it's pretty easy. It's even easier at home with those no flavored coffee syrups. I use them for other stuff, even though I don't drink coffee, and I just get them off Amazon. They're good for a ton of stuff. You know, I don't do good foods and bad foods. Better choices, sure. We don't demonize food around here. And coffee is a really big deal for a lot of us. And here's why I typically tell people to leave it alone. If you start to screw with stuff as sacred as your morning cup of coffee, it's going to be a lot harder to make it to your goal weight. This whole losing weight thing is going to be that much more difficult to sustain. Now, again, if you're opening up your days with an 800 calorie coffee, I'm not talking to you. That's going to be really hard to sustain. But if you're cruising into work with a double-double in your hand and you've been doing it for a couple of decades, leave your coffee alone. Oh, for my non-Canadians, double-double is Canadian speak for two creams and two sugars. So you can probably guess what a 4x4 is. You're likely making enough small changes with other things that you're eating that you don't need to cut the 80 calories that your favorite vanilla creamer is bringing to the table. Right? You're going to find them somewhere else. That's less than a tablespoon of mayonnaise. When you have a lot of weight to lose, you can do things a little differently than someone who's only got a couple of pounds to lose because you've got more calories to play with. I started out with 3,000 calories a day in a deficit. That's nearly double the amount of calories I have now to maintain. So keep the double-double, right? Butter, though, is a different story. And I do like butter. I love butter. It's a huge weakness of mine. I believe it's hard. Like, you have to really work at it to have too much butter. But it's also a couple hundred calories a tablespoon. And it's not always essential. Butter is low-hanging fruit. It's spread, sprinkle, pour stuff. It's calorie dense and it's easy to replace with a low calorie option without lowering your overall satisfaction. You got to ask yourself if both sides of the sandwiches need buttering. Do they need butter at all if you're already adding mayonnaise, mustard, and your favorite garlic spread? Maybe it kind of gets lost in all those other flavors. Maybe it's something you can cut back on to find the calories for your double-double. And I'm not anti-butter. I am very pro butter, but we're talking about weight loss and I want to make it easier. So low hanging fruit, look for the spread, sprinkle, pour stuff. You're going to be amazed at the calories that you can slash and have for other things. I did a whole spread, sprinkle, pour episode. It's number 17 and we'll pop a link in the notes. All right. On to question number two. Did I do intermittent fasting from the beginning? Yes, I did. But I didn't know that's what it was called because the internet was very different in the early aughts than it is now. I was just doing the only thing I thought I had left. I mean, it was a last resort, basically. I felt like I'd tried everything. And that doesn't mean that I tried everything because I knew there was stuff that I couldn't afford to do, like Nutrisystem was big back then. And there was stuff I knew I wasn't willing to do. Like, I knew I couldn't eat the same thing all the time. Not with 200 pounds to lose. There was just no way, not the way I like food. And like the only even slightly appealing eat the same thing all the time diet was the Subway one. But even that I knew I couldn't do. And I feel like that really says something because you have to understand how much I love sandwiches. Okay. They're my desert island food. If I could only have one thing to eat for the rest of my entire life, I would pick sandwich and I would be perfectly happy. But when I had a couple hundred pounds to lose, I did not pick sandwich. I knew even then, even sandwiches couldn't be my way out. And frankly, I didn't want to ruin sandwiches for myself. And I don't like a lot of vegetables on my sandwiches. And I kind of feel like that was Subway's whole point. Like you hollowed out the bread and you just rammed as much veg in there as humanly possible. Here's a fun Subway fact that I really hope doesn't get me sued. So I just Google it to make sure that I have my fun little Subway fact straight. And multiple major international news agencies seem to be greenlighting this. So the Supreme Court in Ireland made a ruling in 2020 that Subway bread isn't actually bread. It doesn't fit the legal criteria. So they've got a tax act that goes back to the 1970s that says the fat, sugar, and bread improvers can't be more than 2%. Of the weight of the bread's flour. The sugar in Subways, which can't be bread, if it's in Ireland, it's 10%. It's five times the legal limit. And no, Ireland doesn't have a special bread recipe. It's the same everywhere. It's not like Subway's bread in Ireland, you know, they just added a whole bunch of extra sugar to it. It's the recipe for their bread. And if you're thinking the gluten-free bread is a better choice, it's not. It's actually worse because it has more sugar in it than the regular buns. If you Google Subway bread isn't bread, Irish court says, you'll see all those same reports. But anyway, intermittent fasting. So I tried all the things that I was willing and financially able to do. And then I just said, screw it, and started eating whatever I wanted, but only at night. I'd always been a night eater. It had always, always, always been my favorite time of day to eat. I like eating alone and I liked it a lot more when I was big. I had a really serious thing about people getting to see me eat when I was heavy. I didn't care for it. Like, I went out of my way to not let people see me eating ever. So my closest friends and my family, otherwise I avoided it as much as I reasonably could. Like, I never made a thing out of it, but it was very much a thing for me. My intermittent fasting schedule played right into that. I ate from 6 p.m. until midnight, sometimes 1 or 2 in the morning. Realized too, though, that I had 3,000 calories a day when I started in a deficit. Like, my TDEE was just under 3,500 calories a day. You can look it up. I was 5'2". I weighed 338 pounds and I was waiting tables. So no, I wasn't hitting the gym, but I was a waitress in a busy pizza restaurant. And there's not a lot of sitting in that job. It's like less than 5%. So I had some very serious calories to play with. So I intermittent fasted right from the beginning, the whole way through. And most of the time I maintained my weight loss. I didn't really start eating during the day again until I started getting pregnant. I didn't fast during my pregnancies at all. I ate whenever I was hungry, same when I was breastfeeding. And my hunger cues were very different. Ordinarily, I'm not hungry at all until I break my fast, whenever that is. If it's 7 a.m. or 4:45 in the afternoon, it doesn't matter. Once I start eating, I will continue to want to eat every couple of hours for the rest of the time that I'm awake. That's just how it works for me. When I was pregnant and nursing, that all went out the window. I also had morning sickness that lasted all day with all of my pregnancies, and eating helped. But just generally, my body wanted things differently. It just wanted different things from food, and I tried to listen to it as much as I possibly could. So next question, how do I not give up? So I see this one a lot too. Focus and grace are the keys to this city, I think. You know what you want. You're working towards getting a healthy body. You're working towards getting a healthy weight. You know that's not going to happen quickly or easily. You also know there are things you can do to make it faster and easier. Stay focused on those little steps that you're taking. The steps at the bottom of the mountain are just as important as the ones that you take stepping onto the top. You can't have one without the other. You just can't. So small incremental changes, one thing, one little thing at a time, a tablespoon less salad dressing, a half a cup less cheese, whatever. Part of focusing is making sure that you celebrate those little wins. The other part of all of this is giving yourself grace. Lots of it. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to have days where you go over, and weeks where you don't lose anything, and weeks where you gain. This is all going to take time, and you need to give yourself plenty of grace. Give yourself some leeway. So how do I deal with bored eating? This is a huge topic, and I'm probably going to need to do a full episode on it, but it comes up a lot. So I want to at least try to start talking about it. I think the best way to combat bored eating is to make sure you're not eating boring food. It's okay to enjoy what you're eating. It's good to be excited about it. You're not a mindless muncher anymore. Your days of sitting there and just eating whatever happens to be in front of you and not really thinking about it, that's over. So you want to be super present with the food you're eating, and that's a lot easier to do if you're not bored by it. And I mean it. If you're a bored eater, eating boring food is not a recipe for success. And yeah, I know you might be sitting there thinking, but you know, if I'm enjoying the food so much, I'll eat too much. Okay. So let's say that instead of having slightly less than usual of something that you actually enjoy eating, you eat something super not stimulating and have some lovely steamed rice and broccoli with a baked chicken breast. There is nothing wrong with that dinner. So you eat it, but it's boring as fuck. And 2 hours later, you're desperate to eat anything that actually interests you. And even if you rein that in and only have some, you'd have been better off having a more satisfying dinner and avoiding the munching later on, right? There's no win on balance there. You're allowed to enjoy what you're eating, but be mindful about it and tell yourself why you're doing it. Yes, you're probably going to want to eat more of the food you enjoy once you start eating it. You also want to lose weight. So you can tell yourself, like, I'm eating this cheesy casserole right now instead of a boring ass chicken breast and rice because I can eat whatever I want, just less of it. And I'm trying to do it in a way that's going to last this time. I want this to work. So this cheesy casserole is really good right now, and I don't need to eat my usual 4-cup helping. I can have 3.5 because I don't want to eat boring ass food. Our next question is a daily repeater, so I'm going to look at it again because it's something that happens to a lot of us. Why would my scale say 293 pounds yesterday and 297 today? And I've been there a lot. It's salt, probably, and water. And this is why I say that you should stay off the scale. Once a week, that's all you need. Anything less and you're not aware enough, and anything more and you're going to make yourself crazy. Pick a day a week and stick to it. But I mean, seriously, all of that seriously too, but seriously, it's probably salt and water. Unless you ate 14,000 more calories than your TDEE yesterday, you did not gain 4 pounds overnight. So let's put 14,000 calories into perspective, right? That's 25 Big Macs. Exactly. It's exactly 25 Big Macs. They are 560 calories each, and I have a calculator on my phone. That's a lot of Big Macs. It's almost 4 large meat lover pizzas, which is 300 calories a slice, 12 slices to the pizza, 3,600 calories a pie. So 3.88 whole bunch of 8 pizzas. And I used to eat a lot of pizza, and I could eat most of a large pizza over the course of an evening. A medium, yeah, no problem. But not 4 of them, or 3 point a whole bunch of 8s, definitely not large ones. So I didn't gain 4 pounds. Now, I did not look this up, but I think I can safely assume that there is a goddamn truckload of salt in every one of those pizzas. So certainly more than my body needs. So it's also going to need to get rid of it. It does that by holding onto water, because the only way to get rid of the excess salt is to latch it onto some water and flush it out of your system. So the 4 pound swing is your body's way of dealing with the sodium. And the way you deal with it is to fight water with water. Give your body exactly what it needs to deal with the problem, and you'll get your scale back in order. Number 4 is an interesting one. I've had a couple of people reach out recently about the zigzag method, which is a new name for me, but it's not a new concept. And there are a bunch of different ways to do this. So the zigzag specifically is when you eat in a deficit for 2 days, and then at maintenance for 1 day, and then 2 in a deficit, rinse, repeat. So it sounds like a math thing to me, right? You'll lose weight, just slower. They recommend a 500 calorie a day deficit because a pound of fat is 3,500 calories. So 500 calories a day is a pound a week. If you're going to take a few days off every week, it's going to be slower going. So you're going to lose like a half pound a week-ish. I can maybe see some mindset benefits if you're trying to ease yourself into it for whatever reason. But losing a lot of weight is a slow enough process without slowing things down to this extent. Like, this is almost stopping from a math perspective, right? This is also one of the main reasons that I hate cheat days too. Now, I mostly hate cheat days for the more abstract mindset reasons, like how is cheating basically on yourself supposed to be beneficial to building the trust that you're going to need to repair your relationship with food? But I also hate cheat days for the very concrete reason that they slow down an already slow process. The zigzag method will too. 5 is a quick and easy answer. Do you use protein powders? No, I don't. But I'm also not allowed to because of my kidneys. I have really specific medical reasons not to use them. But I follow some absolutely amazing accounts that use protein powders and protein shakes in their recipes all the time and make some absolutely gorgeous looking food with them. So there's lots out there to find. The ice cream recipes, or the ones that use that new Ninja creamy, I'm not sure what it's called, but the new Ninja machine, they look incredible. I'm in no way anti-protein powder. I don't know a ton about them. Like, I don't know what their calories look like, and that's going to be what makes or breaks it for me. Number 6, do you count calories when you're sick and have no appetite? No, I don't. I usually find it's a bit of a struggle to eat when I'm sick. So if anything, I would be tracking to make sure I was getting enough calories. When you're sick, it's too important to make sure that your body's getting what it needs to be able to fight off whatever you've got. And you need nutrients to do that. So no, you absolutely need to be taking in all the calories that your body needs when you're feeling sick. Did you ever start looking at grams of sugar or fat when you were in a deficit? Nope. No, I didn't. When I'm in a deficit, it's all about the deficit. I don't do macro tracking for extreme weight loss. I do need to track my sugar specifically sometimes because I'm missing a chunk of my pancreas, and that's got nothing to do with my weight though, now or at any point. So number 8 has been on the list for a while, but it's come in so many times now that I'm finally going to really answer it. Have you tried Weight Watchers? What do you think? Okay, so I've avoided this one quite a bit, I guess. I did try Weight Watchers, but that was nearly 25 years ago. And I'm very sure things must have changed between now and then. Like, I recently heard that they stopped doing in-person meetings, which I get. But at the same time, I feel like that was their differentiator. You know, like, that was what people were signing up for, the community support and the accountability of those weekly weigh-ins. So I don't really feel like I'm in a position to levy an opinion. I I do know that under the old point system, you could gain weight eating enough 0 point foods. I mean, it's just loosely veiled calorie counting, right? Instead of counting calories, Weight Watchers assigns point values and then you just eat your points, but it kind of seems like a waste of time to me. I mean, it was one thing 25 years ago when there really just wasn't the same level of access to nutritional information, but that's all in our pockets now. You can Google pretty much any food item you want and figure out how many calories are in it. So why not just cut to the chase and count the damn calories? And sure, yeah, I get the psychological piece. I see the barrier that counting calories presents, but why piss ass around? Just get it done. And tracking your calories is the shortest distance between 2 points here. I want to take just a quick second to deal with a question that I get on my recipe posts. How many carbs are in that? So I used to answer, because I know there are people tracking carbs for a few different reasons, but I stopped. I felt like I was giving the wrong impression by answering because I don't do macro tracking for extreme weight loss, and I don't want people to think that I do. It's the same with people who ask how much sugar is in something. And I'm getting increasingly weird about this one because of the anti-fruit people, like that lunatic who is telling parents that they shouldn't feed their kids bananas or grapes because they have the same amount of sugar as a Snickers bar. I can't condone that. I mean, that's bad shit crazy. And I mean, you know, I don't do good foods or bad foods, and there is nothing wrong with the Snicks, but there's definitely nothing wrong with bananas either, or grapes. I mean, there's still got to be some semblance of common sense here. So when Gladys gets herself in a twist because I use pineapple in recipes, I just ignore her now. I will not tell her how much sugar is in that pineapple. I simply point out that I don't track sugar. I've got no time for demonizing fruits or carbs or sweeteners or seed oils or any other food. Oh, speaking of Gladys, our 10th question on our 10th Ask Whatever episode is going to the Good For You Gladys question of the week. Now, she opened with a classic move. You might remember that our first inaugural GFY Gladys question of the week opened with genuinely curious. And then she went on to show that she wasn't actually curious. She was just being a passive aggressive dick. Anytime someone has to insert just how earnest they're being, it's probably going to be an issue. You know, like that notorious liar, you know, who starts every third sentence with honestly. Okay. So this week's winner, Gladys, she rolled up with a classic, no disrespect. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know how that's going to go. She might as well have led with like, I don't want to hurt your feelings, or no offense. Yeah. The problem with all of those super cute little clauses is that the next word is inevitably going to be but. And here's the thing with but. And it's the reason I so very rarely use that word. Go back and listen. Go back and look for it. It's super rare. And when I use it, it's for effect and a very deliberate choice on my part. Anytime we hear the word but, we're conditioned to negate everything the person said right before it. I love you, but. That was awesome, but. Yeah, all those lovely, happy feelings just evaporate. They're gone into thin air, and all you're left with is whatever came after the but. I'm waiting to get like the ultimate Gladys comment. Dear Charlotte, no offense, but I'm genuinely curious and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but yeah, good grief. Okay. So over sidles Gladys and she's like, no disrespect, but I've looked at your pictures and I think you must have carried your weight really well. And you don't seem to have very much loose skin now. So I'm just wondering. Yeah, so I've been waiting for this. Couple of things, Glads. So I didn't let anyone take my picture after a certain point. As in, there's a years-long gap in my life where pictures just don't exist. And you could do that back then. Disappear to the kitchen or the bathroom when it was picture time. Volunteer to take the picture. Just flat out hide. There were lots of tricks. Our phones didn't have cameras. Like, cameras were still a thing. Film! Actual rolls of film that you had to go get developed were dominating the landscape. I got a digital camera for my bridal shower and it was a big deal. Like we had disposable cameras, right? Which were also a thing. We put them on the tables at our wedding, but it was pretty easy to do, right? You could avoid having your picture taken if you wanted to. Like, I've got my student ID from university and my old driver's licenses, and there's a period where that's it for a while. So there's that. I do like to agree with a Gladys wherever possible, right? I do like to keep things as positive as I possibly can. And she's right. I carry my weight exceptionally well. I gain weight everywhere and I lose it pretty evenly. I'm super lucky. Like, I didn't carry it all in one place, like my legs or my stomach. It was everywhere. I stayed proportional. Super lucky. Even now, I get people who don't believe I weigh 137 pounds. I've had to get on the scale to prove it. And yes, not a lot of loose skin. A couple of things going on there too. One, I lost my weight gradually, consistently gradually. Like, I didn't have months where I dropped 50 pounds. That never happened for me. It was a slow, steady grind the whole way through. I moisturized like crazy. And I didn't use fancy expensive creams either. I bought a half a dozen bottles of stuff that I really liked the smell of out of a clearance cart in a Walmart. I stayed hydrated and I've got amazing genes when it comes to skin. I've had a couple plastic surgeons tell me that I have about half as much loose skin as they would expect from someone who's lost as much weight as I have. Most of that is attributable to genetics. Two, I'm not sure what you're using to gauge it. Like, how the fuck do you know, Gladys? All those half-naked pictures I'm posting? You must be new here. I like long puff sleeves and compression garments. I can count on one hand the number of adults who've seen me in shorts or a tank top, unless that tank top's hanging out the bottom of a shirt, because I definitely don't do crop tops. And you're absolutely new here if you think it's a self-esteem thing. I'm an adult. And I'm allowed to decide how the world gets to see my body. I feel no shame about my loose skin that I assure you is very much there. But a lack of shame doesn't mean I have to like it, and it doesn't mean I have to show it to you. Just like you're allowed to imply that I didn't lose my weight, I'm allowed to not like part of my body, but still feel very good about myself. It's funny how that works. So I don't like even numbers, and I don't like ending things on a negative note. So we're taking it to 11 today. How do I deal with a plateau? Okay, I've lost 50 pounds and I'm just stuck. All right. So I never want to sound mean with my answers, but there are a couple of areas where I feel like no matter how lightly I tread, I could still hurt feelings unintentionally. Plateaus are one of those areas. Another one, and it's super closely related, is when people are certain that they're in a calorie deficit and they're doing all the things and they're still not losing weight. The only thing you can do if you feel like you're in a plateau and the scale isn't moving is to keep going. But here's the thing. If you keep going the way you were, how reasonable is it to expect that the scale is going to start doing something different? So you need to keep going, but what you also need to do is take a look at what you've been doing. And I know your knee-jerk reaction is going to be that you've been doing everything the same. There's no reason the scale should be stalling. Okay. What about salt? What's your water intake looking like? How confident are you that you're tracking accurately? Are you weighing your food or relying on eyeballing it with old measurements? This isn't judgment or condemnation on my part. It's really easy to get defensive, which right now might be a form of self-sabotage, because there's still a part of you, maybe even just a small subconscious one, but there's a part of you that doesn't want to do this, and you're at war with it all the time. So these are legit questions you need to be asking yourself to figure out what's going on before you start to give up. And we know that's not the answer. So that defense mechanism you've got going on, where you're telling yourself you're tracking perfectly, you're doing everything right, you haven't changed anything, it might actually be you trying to get yourself to quit. But I also know how deep, well, I know how hard it is to hear that, and I'm sorry, but I also know how deeply it sucks when the scale hasn't moved for a few weeks. I really do. And I want you to get past it. So let's go right back to the absolute basics. You know that the only way to lose weight is to be in a calorie deficit. So if you're not losing weight, you're not in a calorie deficit. And I know that sounds harsh and I really don't like saying it, but it's still true, whether I like to say it or you like to hear it or not. You've got your TDEE, your total daily energy expenditure. That's how many calories your body's burning every day, doing everything, breathing, growing your fingernails, digesting your food, walking around the store, all the things. If you consistently eat more than that number, you're going to gain weight. If you consistently eat at your TDEE, your weight's going to stay the same. It's going to maintain. If you consistently eat fewer calories than your body burns, you'll lose weight. A pound of fat is 3,500 calories. Divide it by 7 and you get 500 calories a day to lose a pound a week, which sounds horrible when you're staring down 80, 100, 200 pounds. A couple things. You're probably going to lose it faster, especially at the beginning. I found I was actually more consistent with the second 100 than I'd been with the first. There was a lot more trial and error and a lot more up and down for me with the first 100 pounds than there was with the second. But I lost 201 pounds in just under 2.5 years. So don't get hung up on the pound a week. Don't let that get in your head. It's a little bit different with extreme weight loss. The other thing is you're better off losing it slowly. You really are. It sucks, but it's still true. It's not just about getting it off. That's short game thinking. There's the loose skin thing, but more importantly, you want to be able to keep it off. And yes, I totally believe that the majority of that work happens as you change your relationship with food, but you need time to do that. And losing weight fast is no guarantee that it will stay off. I know the emotional end of all of this is very complicated. That's the math part. So if you're plateauing, you're not in a consistent calorie deficit. Go back to the calories. Make absolutely sure that you're being as accurate as you can. And consider switching tracking apps. And I know that can be a really tough one. I do. But if you're relying on an app to track, and you have been for some time, and it's telling you that you're in a deficit, and you're entering every single thing that you eat or drink as absolutely accurately as possible, and you're not seeing it on the scale, maybe it isn't you. Maybe it's the app. Oh, and don't add calories back. I don't care how many calories your fitness tracker says you burned or which machine you are on for how long. Don't add calories back. Your TDEE is already accounting for your activity level, so you don't have to add calories back in. Don't do it. I've done a few episodes on this one. We'll link episodes 9 and 40. They're called Don't Exercise to Lose Weight and Stop Exercising to Lose Weight. But all right, that brings us to the end of our 10th Ask Whatever episode. And these are so much fun. I really enjoy them. So please keep the questions coming. Next week, I'm going to talk about what I would do if I had to start again tomorrow. Like if I woke up and I was back at 338 pounds, what would I do? If you're looking for help with your weight loss, I've created a couple of things for you. The first is my free guide to getting started for the last time, and we'll pop a link in the notes. And the second is my weight loss workbook, Disruptor. And you can find it on Amazon by searching Disruptor and my name, Charlotte Skanes. Keep trying, keep tracking. Don't be intimidated and don't give up. You've totally got this. Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready so you can start disrupting obesity.